Blog Talk Radio.
I hope we're all savabiening tonight. I can hear over the podcast airwaves around the world right now a collective sigh of relief. I mean, goodness sakes, the Parisians, who are not known for being the miscongenialities of the world stage, have lit up their empire, their Empire State Building, their Eiffel Tower, bright blue. I mean, is there a sense of joy and relief and just some welcome peace. Anyway, welcome to you. You're now listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk. We're part of the Here Be Monsters studio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And we're coming to you from two different, because of COVID, of course, we're coming to you from two different studios. I'm podcasting to you from the main line, just outside of Philadelphia. And my producer and muse and pal forever, Gwendolyn Oldenberry, is coming to you from Port St. Lucie, and they're struggling with the storm coming there, Hurricane Ava or Ada or Addie or whatever, the last farting, like wet fart of a hurricane in November is pounding the Florida coast, 18 inches of rain in Miami. That'll teach them. That'll teach them to vote wrong. That will wash that out. Anyway, Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
Oh, enjoying the wrath of God on Miami. They did get dumped on. It's true. It's really
but
true.
But it's an amazing experience, isn't it? It's just it's, you know, people talk about what a week, what a month, what a year. What a 4 years. Here we are 4 years later. And we began, as I said last week, you know how children on Christmas morning, they already start thinking about Christmas being 365 days away. It's like, what about Christmas next year? And then next year. We, on that election night in 2016, we were children in a Christmas in hell. We were already thinking about what we were going to be doing 4 years from now because it seemed inconceivable that we were going to live, you know, that experience. And of course, those 4 years turned into 400 years. There has never been a presidency.
Pistol whipped. The whole way.
There has never been a presidency where the top story every night in the headlines, whether it was newspapers back in Andrew Jackson's day, or, you know, or war bulletins from the front in the 40s with Franklin Roosevelt. There was never a presidency where the president's mischiefs were the top headline through earthquakes and hurricanes and everything. Everything was seen every week, every day, every news cycle, every hour through Donald Trump's shit du jour. It was like every single thing was an hourly bulletin on what he had done again. And it's exhausting. 4 years of it. 4 years. Culminating in record-breaking deaths and infections of COVID. It took an international plague, a health pandemic catastrophe on the order of the bubonic plague, to shake his golf game out of the headlines. So I hear all sorts of stuff in the background there.
Yes, we have a small convention that is taking back down.
Okay. Anyway, what I was going to say was, this is, of course, Blog Talk Radio Network that you're listening to right now, and we're part of the Here Be Monsters studio, and the founder of Here Be Monsters was Gwendolyn Oldenberry. She's with us. She's my sponsor for Come Now, Don't Sulk, a Monday broadcast every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 Central or your corresponding time zone. And we are, of course, sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners just like you at home. Thank you. Our phone number, if you'd like to call in, is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Operators are standing by at our switchboard. We want to make a request tonight, if it's possible. A lot of people are using headsets with microphones, etc. And if you do call in, and please do call in and chat with us, please, can we get your microphones, like, not to rub your chest hair, ladies, or whatever is going on. It's like we've had some people call in, and it sounds like they're like grating cheese with their microphones. So we would like you to please call in, but try and use your phones in a way that it doesn't have us like wondering if you've dropped it into the wearing blender. We were on last night with Gwendolyn's other show that is part of the Here We Monster studio, and we were discussing the aftermath of this election. And Gwendolyn, what do you have to say? What, as the days go by, our national hangover is clearing. You know, it's going to take a couple of weeks for the national hangover to end. 4 years of alcohol toxicity. I mean, we definitely are going to have to detox. But what, each day we notice new things. What have you noticed after the last couple of days? So just what, where are you in your head?
I'm waiting for, you know, the torch that's been lit in the darkness to get brighter and brighter and to burn away the nastiness that's been. So it's like we've been pistol whipped for 4 years, you know,
yes.
Psychological pistol whipping, basically.
Absolutely.
We've taken on the greatest amount of collective stress than any country could think of. And then we join the world in the COVID panic. And in this country, it's climbing to unspeakable rates as we sit here. It's unspeakable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's been the planes that have touched down now that they're tracing back to being like little spreader events because somebody on the plane spread it to many people on the flight. There's just so much complacency now that's going
yeah.
on. It's just incredible. Nobody's wearing masks around here. I mean, you
yeah.
see one every 8 people sort of thing. And that's disgusting. We're in Republican
yeah.
country. We're in red
yeah.
country, you know? And so that's what's going down. That's the reality.
Yeah.
How is it in Philly where they have Republican shows that are stationed between mortuaries and sex shops out here?
Yeah.
You heard about that with Rudy, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. Florida, of course, you're living in a state that is very conflicted. Where I live now in Pennsylvania, having left New York for work, Pennsylvania is, you know, as I joked with you, it's the swingiest of the swing states. It was it was not just another one of the swing states. It's large and crucial. So as serious as Arizona was, or as Nevada or whatever, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania is 20 electoral votes and is, you know, major population. And for every Trump poster, there was a Biden poster. And for every Biden poster, there was a Trump poster. I'm surrounded by Trump and Biden posters everywhere on lawns. And many of them are still
really?
In place. Oh, yes, they're still out there. I think not because people are lazy, but because people are still galvanized about what the result is going to be. I think that one thing Gwendolyn and I'll let you speak for yourself. I think One thing that we both are, one wants to believe that Biden has won, of course, and it's, he's been declared the winner, et cetera. But one thing that I think we both want to be, we don't want to suffer, is 4 years of conspiracy theories, of insanity, of stonewalling by the right, the way that Obama was run through the ringer, from the birther nonsense through the complete vetoing of every single blocking of every single thing that he tried to do. And those players are still around. Mitch McConnell, Flimsy Graham Cracker, Tom Cornyn, they're all still here. They're all around. Susan Collins,
yeah.
They're all still here. And I'm sorry, I said it last night on your other show. I'm not evolved. I am not an evolved soul. I am afraid that I'm still very much a Neanderthal. I'm not a forgive and forget type person. I was raised by a psychopath. You know, my mother was a psychopath. And people say, what was your mother like? And I say, she was Joan Crawford. You know, to the public, they adored her. But in private, you know, my mother was a psychopath. And I know what it's like to be, you know, raised by something like that and live with something like that. And it has burned out all the merciful instincts that I have. She didn't do it because I still had them up through my 20s and 30s and 40s. But starting in my 50s, I have seen such injustice and such cruelty and such mischief isn't the right word, psycho mischief, psychopathic mischief, that I don't forgive and forget. I don't forget when people do bad things. And like I said last night, I believe that Katie Mirajnik in The Way We Were, Barbara Streisand's character in The Way We Were, is right. People are their principles. People are are what they say and act on and do with their hands. When you see someone do things that you think are wrong, believe it. Believe it.
Yes.
And know them. And that's why I say for myself, and I won't speak for Gwendolyn, but from Pat Sajak and Tom Selleck to Bitch McConnell and Flimsy Graham Cracker, they have made it clear how they feel about Latinos, Hispanics, lesbian, gay people, transgender people. They really have let them, so they've let black people know how they feel about people of color. You know, Ben Carson's an idiot. And old enough maybe to be taken by COVID, but he's black, but apparently he was duped.
Tested positive today.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole thing is that these people, they voted and supported that red agenda for 4 years. And not only supported it, they openly supported it. They were just fine with it. Tom Selleck, Pat Sajak. Just fine with it. And in fact, pugnacious about it, obstinate, like publicly. And that's why now that Biden is in office, whether the Senate turns blue or whether it doesn't, whatever happens, I will not believe apologies from the right. And they've made no attempt. First of all, Mitch McConnell has made no attempt to congratulate Joe Biden, and he has made no attempt to try and smooth the way. Chris Christie is sort of, you know, rolling around like a big fat lard ball, trying to backpedal now and say, well, you know, I told, we're friends, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to tell him the truth. Blah, blah, blah. Pal, you sold your soul. You smell of sulfur. You smell of sulfur. If you sleep with the devil, you wake up in the morning smelling of sulfur. And Chris Christie's another one. He made a deal with the devil. These people hate me. They hate me. They made
they
it
do.
Clear that they hate gays and lesbians. So all the smiling. So and I
they
said it last
gays
night, too.
And they're racist against any person of color. They stood in the Senate today on the floor and said that they would enjoin committees to go and see whether or not the election was thrown. It was bad mail, as a small businesswoman, let me tell you about bad mail. It's called Republican Mail. It's been awful.
Well, right now, apparently, Joe Biden's COVID team and any other experts on the TV are saying that a Thanksgiving family get-together is a very, very, very poor choice to make. But if that's what you decide to do at home, if some of my listeners decide to do that, I just want to remind you that when you see friends of yours or family or coworkers that voted red, and you know that, I want you to know that, well, I'm not going to tell you what to think, but if I were in your position, I would look at Aunt Delia, I would look at Uncle Fred, I would look at Cousin Peter and say in my own head, again, that Newsday teletype that goes around Times Square, those light bulbs that light up the message, the headlines, in my head, my Newsday headlines would be, Aunt Delia hates you. Uncle Fred hates you. Pass him the sweet potatoes. Smile. Offer him some more white meat and the turkey. But remember, he hates you. He hates you. Because that's what their vote means. So all the kissing or the hugging or the googly, googly, googly. No. They hate us. And that's what we have to remember now going forward. We can see they hate us. And that's the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. If I live to be 312, I'm going to remember that during this beginning of the millennium, there were huge portions of this country that hate me. They see me and they think I sleep with animals, or that I molest children, or that I'm a communist or whatever. And I'm not going to let that go. You all can do what you want, but I will never forget. I will never forget.
Of course, you know, our president-elect is advising people to bring themselves together. We do have to just socially.
And
you are right in this fashion. We have
and professionally,
to let them know
professionally,
it's not
I mean,
acceptable.
Yeah.
It is not acceptable, and you have a phone call.
Great. And I'll take that phone call, but I want to say to you that obviously COVID is keeping you and me from being in an office and cubicles with coworkers, and obviously we would be professional and work with our coworkers, but I would never forget secretly what the secret message is. They hate me, and that is something that I would never trust them. With my child, I would never trust them with my cat. No. Anyway, let's take our phone call. We'll get on happier subjects. Who's our caller?
Hi, it's Pamela.
Pamela, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm very good. Okay, so we're talking about we're in our Friday Foodie Fridays, our fabulous Foodie Fridays on Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild page. Which any one of you can join. Just go to Facebook and look up Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild and join us for free. And join the laughter and the fun and the funniness and the recipes and the photographs, all of it. Pamela is our, the poet emeritus is what the declared Robert Frost. You're our chef emeritus. You're our food expert emeritus. You're doing special recipes for Thanksgiving.
For Thanksgiving.
Right? Go on.
Yes, I did appetizers this past Friday. I did a couple of
appetizers. Which were genius. I'm going to attempt them this week, just as a trial run, you understand. And I congratulate you on making them completely, they're like 1,000 calories. They were delicious. I put on 12 pounds reading the recipes.
Well, that's what Thanksgiving's about. I know I don't know how to have a gluten-free vegan Thanksgiving. I just don't know.
No.
I can't.
No.
That's
just nonsense.
I've seen, I've had people that have had, what is it, the tofurkey? The tofu.
Oh, oh my God. That's, there are hairdos and hair don'ts, and hair death penalties. That is a food death penalty. That anyone who would make such a thing deserves to sit in the electric chair or be thrown into a microwave oven along with their turkey, whatever it is. That is just disgusting. You know, what I love is when appetizers are so delicious that your guests just keep eating them and there's no room for dinner because they're just the appetizers were such genius things. Oh my God.
Right.
I've been at cocktail parties.
And that's why I just did something light and simple with crostini or vegetables, you know, so that way they, you know, won't get too filled up, but still can visit and mingle and do whatever and have a lovely dog.
Until the tryptophan kicks in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm worried that eventually someone's going to figure out how to remove tryptophan from a turkey the way they remove caffeine from, you know, instant Sanka or whatever. For heaven's sakes.
I think that's part of Thanksgiving. You have to take that nap afterwards.
Yes. Well, drugs are definitely, it's like turkey drugs. Now, and you said that the Thursday after Thanksgiving, you're going to do a wonderful one about leftovers from Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Right?
The Friday after Thanksgiving, yes.
Oh, and let me tell you something as a fellow foodie to Pamela and Gwendolyn. I have taken Thanksgiving leftovers, specifically stuffings and different assorted vegetables and stuff. I have put them in the freezer in a Tupperware container. And I have forgotten them, and I have thawed them 2 years later and reinvented them. I've thawed them and reinvented them and, you know, whatever. And they are literally food of the gods. It's like leftovers are miracles, but Thanksgiving leftovers are enchanting. Turkey takes on a complexity. I have a
lovely Thanksgiving dinner soup that I'm going to put after Thanksgiving.
Yes. Wonderful. And all I can say is I hope your readers will make that soup and enjoy it, but I hope they take half of it and freeze it and save it.
Oh, yeah, because it'll freeze
like a piece of wedding cake.
Right.
Yeah, right.
It'll freeze wonderfully.
Yeah, I have the feeling that some of our food leftovers are so brilliant that we should start putting vintages on them and we should put a label on them saying Thanksgiving 1875. And it's like, oh my goodness, that's worth thousands of dollars. And you thought, and it's just the most delicious food you've ever tasted in your life. If only because the turkey is truly a free range turkey that was shot with a musket, you know, somewhere outside, you know, Valley Forge or whatever. I mean, it's just leftovers are genius foods. Genius foods. I've actually started cooking and making food and not serving it that night. I actually cook food and then put it away in the refrigerator for 3 days, 4 days to let it become whatever it turns into.
It becomes so much more wonderful. The flavors all meld together.
Yeah, and not just meld together, but become complex in a way. They just, you know, if you're squeamish about food, like 90%, what was it on the Food Network? They said that 90% of America doesn't know what aged steak means. And they said that they don't even show like a really fine, like the Old Homestead steakhouse or whatever. They don't show the lockers where the meat is hanging because people would be horrified to see what their $55, you know, flank steak was like before it was cooked. Because aging meat involves a certain amount of putrefaction.
Right.
To make it wonderful. And yes, they cut off the maggots and the mold and all of that stuff, but to make it that wonderful, that meat has been dead and not particularly taken care of very well for a while. It's amazing, amazing. And, you know, you tell people that and they're like, oh, dear God, I'm going to become a vegan, you know. It's like, but it's fascinating. Anyway, I have a question for Pamela. Are you cooking more since the election is over? Are you cooking out of relief, or did the steam come out of your cooking thing and you don't need to cook so compulsively because you don't have any sorrows to drown now?
No, I'm cooking a little more. And I would say it's just because it's that time of year where it gets busy for me. So I start preparing, putting stuff in the freezer and that way I can just pull stuff out. So right up between now and probably Christmas Day is when I, you know, start. Well, actually, these next couple of weeks is when I'll be really balls to the walls and cooking. So
you said yes. So you said you're cooking a lot right now, and especially preparing foods and putting. So I assume that in that sentence, and I know I speak for Kimberly Young and for Gwendolyn and myself. And Jan Glazer in California, that means that you're also preparing some sort of like bundt cake or pound cake or cookies in a tin or something to send to us, your friends, over the airwaves. And especially now that the voting crisis is over, and that the post offices are no longer drowning in envelopes, they can send a tin of cookies to the main line or to Port St. Lucie.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. I feel so much better right now. I feel much happier and better right now. My chest pains have stopped, and that strange shooting thing down the left side of my arm, it's all gone. That's very nice. I can't wait to get some of your special treats.
Oh, you'll get them.
I have to say that the weekend before Election Day, I went on a binge in the kitchen and was cooking around the clock because
that's
I had just – I was going to blow my brains out. So I just began making bolognese sauces and meatballs and turkey meatloafs. And I was making anything that I could find any ingredients for. I mean, I was cooking with dust bunnies under the sofa and lint from a sweater. I was trying to make cookies out of that stuff. I mean, it was just like I was. So now that the election is over, sort of, and the results are in, sort of, I'm feeling so much less desperate to make brownies or, you know, whatever. So it's nice to be cooking, not with an axe to grind.
Right.
Are you, I have a question for you. Do you feel, like Mummy's weight got a little out of control? And that's partly because of the cold weather. I just find it very hard to diet when the weather starts getting cold. You, of course, and Gwendolyn are in Florida, so you don't have that problem, but we Northerners, our bodies just, yeah, well, when it gets cold, our bodies just want to put on weight just to protect us. It's like a caveman response. So I bought like tons of salads today in an effort to try and see if I can get my weight down before the holidays. Do you find yourself like fluctuating at all with the seasonal thing in your cooking? And do you crave things according to the month?
No, I maintain my fatness very well. I don't fluctuate. I don't have a beach body and I never will. I don't put on weight though. I pretty much stay.
Well, there you go. So you're steady. You're steady at your current weight.
I'm plateaued. Oh yeah. I've been steady for probably about 10 years now.
Oh, okay. Were you ever underweight in your life, or were you ever thin in your life?
Yes, when I was about 6 months in the womb, I was underweight. But after I've gotten out of the womb, no. I mean, at one time I was 450 pounds.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. That's so, and you've lost some of that.
I am no longer that. I run around.
How did you do it, Pamela?
I moved down here and then started to go outside and walk and, you know, just do that stuff. So I've lost, you know, about a couple hundred pounds.
So you didn't go on a bypass or a sleeve or anything like that?
Oh God, no. I am a firm believer that if you can do it yourself, do it. If it's medically necessary and you can't do it, then that's what that is there for. But not for people that are just lazy and don't want to do it.
That's true. Yeah, here's a funny story. I was severely premature. I was born very premature. And I was so premature, I had a hole in my heart. And this was so long ago that incubators had just been invented. Incubators were basically like milk crates with a light bulb in them and an extension cord and some masking tape. And that was, you put a baby in there and you basically told the parents, look, your child will be warm for a while, but We're going to check back in an hour, but your child will probably be dead. So I had been basically written off by the doctors, and I was born in a very highly educated part of the United States in a state capital. And I was, you know, this was not some podunk butt poke, you know, hospital / veterinary clinic. It was a major hospital in a major city. And even so, I was premature and very bad off. And my parents were told that, you know, you will probably lose your child tonight. And nevertheless, I wore weighed 9 3/4 pounds. I was premature and I weighed 9 3/4 pounds. This is a long time ago. Babies did not weigh nine and three quarters pounds.
Yeah. I was like
that was,
seven.
I was
almost
huge.
Seven.
I was premature and huge and was already clearly going to be the captain of the ladies' field hockey team, you know, and the ladies' lacrosse team. The doctor said if your child wasn't going to die, she probably would end up as the junior varsity girls rugby captain, which is what I went on to be in private school. You know, I played lacrosse, and this is back when there were no masks or shin guards. You simply played lacrosse in a pleated skirt and a leather sweater. And, you know,
yes.
God help your teeth. And 3/4 pounds and I was premature by like, oh my God, I don't remember how much, but way too much. It was like really serious. I was born in Aquarius, but I was actually meant to be a Libra. So that gives you an idea. Only Gwendolyn will get that laugh. So, what do we want to talk about tonight? We'll talk about happy stuff. I don't want to talk about whether or not, you know, Mitch McConnell is going to screw Joe Biden every chance he gets. I know a question. Pamela and Gwendolyn,
yeah.
What's the happiest takeaway of this election that you have? If you had three things that you adored, what's the best of the three?
I think for me that it's the first woman being elected into the vice presidency.
That's mine too. And that
I think
woman.
That is just
and
amazing.
That particular
and
woman,
then to
yes.
be a woman of color to boot
yes.
is even more
yes.
amazing. I mean, it's just opened the door for women equality everywhere.
And a child of immigrants. Her
yeah.
mother's Indian.
Yeah.
And she's a woman of color. She's biracial. She's part Indian. She hits the note in
yeah.
10 different ways. It's not just that she's a woman. I mean, and she's that particular woman. Listen, during those debates, those 12 people up on stage, Kamala Harris mm-hmm. was my favorite. Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris were my favorites. Those were the, you know, and then there was, you know, I liked Bernie Sanders and Cory Booker and Pete Buttigieg. But Kamala Harris, I said early on to Gwendolyn, ages ago, I said, if I had my wish, Kamala Harris would be the nominee for the presidency. But of course, I knew that would never happen because that would be too much for this country to tolerate. But I'm with you.
Is she the third one to run on the vice president ticket? She's the third one. Because it was Geraldine Ferraro. And then there was Sarah Palin, and then her.
Sarah Palin. Oh, my God. When is the wolf pack going to get her? I wish she'd go out with her rifle. I wish she'd go a-hunting. I wish she'd go out a-hunting. And I wish that her rifle would misfire and the wolf pack would turn and circle and close in for the kill.
Apparently,
you know, it's just wild.
She's not very good at that. As an Alaskan outdoors woman, she failed miserably even with the television show. I mean, here's a woman who gets pissed off because she can't make it as VP and gets predominantly slapped back by the media and then goes
yeah.
on to, you know, the lipstick on a pig bit and basically quits being the governor. I mean, it's
Right.
Did she end up divorced? Did she divorce her husband?
That's going on currently, I think I read.
I think it's still going on.
Oh,
yeah,
no. What am I saying? No. Sarah and Todd Palin finalized the divorce 3 months ago.
Oh,
and that
okay.
was in July. That was done in July.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They've been divorced for a while. And so much for family values, huh? So much
well,
for God Almighty.
But they kept Alaskan State Troopers so nicely busy. You know,
Second favorite thing that's come out of the election is that now Trump is now a sitting duck and all of those court cases can now be acted upon.
Yeah, not only a lame duck, a sitting duck.
Yes.
Well,
so,
and
you know,
Gwendolyn,
he can now be tried because he's no longer a sitting president. So,
Gwendolyn, what was your favorite thing, your favorite takeaway?
Well, going to what Pamela said, he was in arrears and to Deutsche for many other interests that went through Deutsche to the tune
mm-hmm.
of $400 million when he was elected. And
yep.
they postponed anything. And now I'm sure they're going to want their vigorous. I don't know how much of it he paid off in the presidency, you know, with favors or contracts or, you know, whatever through the government and the corruption there. But that's the other nice thing about this is that Republicans can be pretty damn stupid about how they go about things. And let's face it, this past administration has been a clown car.
Yeah.
Of you know, just a clown car of dismal strategies. And
uh-huh.
I think within the year that, especially with bright folks like AOC and the progressive women that are in Congress and the angry senators on the Democratic side, Democrat side, are going to expose under this watch, and the Republicans who have like Grassley and Imhoff and Graham and of course McConnell and the rest of them they will be properly exposed for what they've allowed to actually happen. And if Americans are good with that in another 4 years, you know, I think that there's a shift going on right now that's going to surpass the regular Potomac two-step of, you know, let's face it, this is a one-term president who never should have been. And what the Republicans did during this presidency is going to be exposed. Once it's exposed, there are going to be people who are going to be shunned for their support, right?
Yeah.
Just like yesterday when we were talking about how Archie Bunker and Maude changed social norms, this presidency and the exposure in the next year. Plus, I happen to think that the possibility is that we're looking before the term's end at a President Harris, and who could go on very, very well could go on to a second term. And she's a smart girl. She's a smart lady. And she's a lawyer. And, you know.
Yeah.
They really do know how to go fishing. So I that's the bright spot in it, because if it isn't addressed, like, you know, Biden was a member of the Obama administration twice over, but you know how many people got very angry at Obama for letting Bush and Cheney off the hook? That's what pushed the progressive movement into such fear. And that's why there's been problems with the DNC ever since. I mean, problems, in other words, they've lost folks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the activists, the people who go out there, you know, substantially fine leadership in the DNC walked away because of stupid mistakes that were compromises to keep everybody from fighting tooth and nail. And I think that, respectively, I think Obama had in mind that he just didn't want to see that kind of fraction that we've seen under Trump, because he feared racism as something that would fracture the country under his watch. You know, I think that did curb him in many things, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It makes sense. He's a fine statesman, and I have a great deal of respect for him, but I started Herbie Monster's radio to get on the air just about every day with a bunch of other progressives to scream about the Gulf oil spill. I thought it was a horrible calamity that was handled improperly. It was handed over to the corporations under the guidance of Senate and the Congress. And Obama didn't do anything. He didn't take it in hand. He allowed it to happen. The bottom of the Gulf of Mexico right now is quite dead. It corrects its field.
Yeah.
So, you know, shit happens.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Shit also splatters.
Yeah.
What is it? Shit also what?
Splatters.
Yeah. But I
agree with both of you. Shit happens and shit splatters. But we do live in a time when some people, you know, there's so many metaphors for life. There's so many metaphors for what life is about. And one of my metaphors is that we're all born into our own little, like, garden plot. We all are given a garden plot, and some of us, and it's a little square. It's like a 12 foot by 12 foot square, if you will, with a little fence around it. And that's your life. And your little 12 by 12 foot, maybe you were gifted genetically and with lucky parents, you had really rich topsoil, or maybe you had a few more stones in your plot, or maybe yours was dry and sandy, or maybe yours was in the shade and didn't have enough sunlight, or maybe you had lots of different things. Maybe you had a bag, maybe your soil wasn't so great, but you had a bag of incredible seeds over in the corner that were just waiting for you to scatter them and start growing your life as a garden. There's all those different metaphors for what your 12 by 12 garden plot could be. There are some people, speaking of shit, who their garden is 3 inches thick with pig shit. And it's not only do they not do anything about it, but they squinch down, they sit in it, and they squinch down in it and really get it between their toes and their fingers, and they sit in it, and then it's not enough to sit in their own shit. Then they start splashing it around and throwing it and crying and tantruming and making their shit go into the other people's yards. And they're miserable, and they're determined to make everyone miserable. And I think that what we just had was 4 years of the biggest, wettest, brownest, diaper-wearing baby ever brought to this planet. It never has there been such a big, pimply, soiled diaper, stinky baby, ever, ever, ever determined to splash everyone with his psycho shit. And that's what we've been living with. And the people who like that sort of thing, the other garden plots around the country. And there apparently are almost half of the population is that, of people who just are determined to make others miserable for whatever reason. And it's sad and it's tragic. And I think it's an amazing thing that Joe Biden has gotten up in front of the press repeatedly and spoken like as if he's already in office. He's already telling us things he's doing. He's already got a luncheon meeting with his COVID committee. He speaks like
positive.
A president. And
I
can't even imagine what people who voted for Trump or the White House, the House staff and everything, the people in there are thinking, when they see Joe Biden, who's not even president yet, speaking as if he's been president for 8 years. He talks as if he's been a president for years. Oh, and there, of course, he was. He was a vice president for 8 years and stood beside one of the most civilized presidents we've had, certainly an articulate and polished man after those 8 years of George Bush's yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay, you know, brainlessness. You know, I'm cogitating and I'm the decider and whatever those other things, those, you know, malapropisms he would do every day. It's amazing. Obama came off as like a cross between Einstein and, you know, who knows? I mean, he was just a genius. And then Biden was by his side. So now we've got a person who took the training wheels off and is now going to be our president, but he's already talking as if he is. I just, thank God, thank God, thank God. I mean, my chest pains have subsided seriously over the last 3 years. You know, and it's just, it's such a miracle. It's,
yes, it is.
You know, to be able to sleep better. I've already started sleeping better.
Have you? That's
yeah.
So wonderful to hear somebody say that.
Yeah, sleeping
and
better.
Really, that's, I wonder how many Americans really are, actually. I wonder how many global citizens are, actually. And we haven't really
how many global citizens are?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't imagine that the Europeans aren't torn between laughing and pointing, like derisively, and breathing a sigh of relief. On one hand, they're mocking him. And on the other hand, they're also saying, oh, my God, maybe the United States will rejoin the civilized world. I mean, the next step is we have to get rid of that haystack who's in charge of England, Boris Johnson. Oh, my God, first of all, that hair has got to come off, preferably by scalping. I want a team of, you know, I want Apaches to go over there and scalp him. I want someone to go over that he's an idiot and he is the next target to be gotten rid of. And, you know, already Joe Biden is, you know, takes a very dim view of Boris Johnson. He's an idiot. But the rest of Europe, oh, my God, the French lit up the Eiffel Tower blue. This is incredible. This is so...
And the church bells that pealed all through Europe. That was
yeah,
stunning.
Yes. That was so... I started crying. I saw the YouTube video of Paris ringing its bells because of the election. And they're 6 hours ahead of us. They're 5 hours ahead of us. They were doing it like, God. And I can't imagine what Prime Minister Markovic of Montenegro is thinking. The one that idiot monkey pudding pushed out of the way. Remember during that European conference?
During the G7,
He pushed the Prime Minister of Montenegro aside. In front of everyone, in front of Angela Merkel and everybody. It's like, oh, my God, even he must be chuckling about, you know, that idiot slob that pushed him out of the way has been fired, you know, is on his last leg.
One of the first people to tweet was Zelensky from the Ukraine to congratulate Biden and to wish him well, and to say we look forward to working with you, please. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, please give me something to work with. I get it.
I know that, like, you remember the Hans Christian Andersen story about the fisherman's wife, and the fisherman catches the magic fish in the morning in the ocean, and he pulls his net in, and there's a fish in there wearing a crown, a golden fish with a crown. And he's stunned, and he said, oh, my God, look at that fish. And the fish speaks to him and says, please, Mr. Fisherman, I'm an enchanted prince. I'm a fish, but I'm also an enchanted prince. If you will release me, I'll grant you a wish. I'll grant you anything you want. And the fisherman says, oh, my God, no, I'm going to let you go. And he releases him, and he goes home and tells his wife, and his wife says, you idiot, you had a magic fish that said he would give you a wish. Go back and find him and try and get a wish and try and find him. So the fisherman goes back the next day and he calls out into the ocean, and the fish comes up into the water and says, what would, and he says, my wife would like a cottage, like a little cottage with a barn and maybe a couple of chickens and things. We're very poor and we'd like, you know, that. And the fisherman says, and the fish says, no problem. It goes back. Anyway, you know the story. Every time the fish grants a wish, the wife says, well, wait a minute, the cottage was nice, but now I want a mansion. And she doesn't want a mansion. She wants a castle. She doesn't want to be a housewife. She wants to be a countess. And then she wants to be the queen. And eventually she sends her husband back. And every time he goes back, the sea is getting stormier and stranger, and the fish is getting more ticked off. And finally, the last time, she wants to move the moon and the sun. She wants to be in control of everything. And the fish says, go back to your wife. You're back in a ditch again. Right. Well, I don't want to be the fisherman's wife, so I'm grateful that Joe Biden won. And I don't want to make my fish angry, but I would so much like, I would just love it if the Senate, even by 2 votes, would turn blue, because I would love to see how Bitch McConnell and Flimsy Graham Cracker and Tom Cornhole and Snoozin' Collins all have to deal with being in the minority. And where Joe Biden doesn't have to bargain with them, he can ask them politely if they'd like to get on board with his roads commission or his, you know, new bridge commission or his railway commission. But basically, it's his way or the highway. And I would love to have that luxury of just having all three branches go his way. He won't have the Supreme Court, but he certainly could have both houses of the Congress. And he could have his own presidency, and that would be very nice. He won't have the state legislatures, I know that. He won't have a lot of governors. But wouldn't it be nice if the Senate, the House, and the president could all just blue stamp everything? Wouldn't that just be such a relief? So,
it would be.
If my fish is listening, please don't take everything away from me.
It could be.
Tomorrow in the New York Times, Sybil Brunchen gets on the airwaves, asks Magic Fish to give her the Senate. Fish recounts votes in Pennsylvania and Arizona. Trump wins. Biden is out. And there you go. Bitch Brunchen for asking your magic fish for everything. There you go. Sybil Brunchen single-handedly ruins the United States in the year 2020. Recount devastating for Biden. Biden loses in a landslide due to last-minute mail-in votes that came out of nowhere. Oh, I guess Gwendolyn would take my show away from me at that point. Oh, well. Does anyone have anything that they would like to joke about or say? It's kind of so wonderful.
I haven't heard about Wegmans this week. Have you been through the whole store yet, or are you just still stuck in the produce section?
Oh, no. No, I know the whole store now. And not only that, I have actually been to Providence.
Because
I keep joking, it's the size of Rhode Island. I not only am good at that store, much of the staff addresses me by my first name when I walk in. Even with my mask on, they recognize me. And including one very important manager, Ben, there, who's adorable. And then on top of that, I have actually given directions to other shoppers. So someone will say, oh, well, where's the Werner's ginger ale? Oh, Werner's ginger ale. I bought my Werner's ginger ale here today. I found it in both the jumbo bottles and the cans. Oh, I'm thrilled. I'm so thrilled. I just can't believe it. I can't believe I have Werner's ginger ale.
Everybody picked that up this week. I told them to look for it at Publix, and there it was. Thank you, Pamela.
Yeah. Pamela, thank you.
You're welcome.
My roommate drank it all up.
I have to Google it. Where is Werner's originally from? New York or Michigan or what? I have to look it up. It's right here. Werner's.
I don't know.
Werner's ginger
ale,
or it was created. Oh, I was right, Michigan. It was created by a Detroit pharmacist in 1866, right after the Civil War. Oh my God, it's the oldest surviving ginger ale soda in the United States, and he created it as a digestive to help people digest their food and to settle their tummies. Isn't that amazing? In Detroit.
It is. It is.
Yep, still in existence, 154 years old. It's only 2 years younger than me. That's just wonderful. Oh, that's amazing. We old timers. Yeah. I got my Verner's, and I give directions to people, and I've also helped people weigh price their vegetables on the scales in the fresh produce section. So if someone looks baffled by what they're supposed to do with their code number, I just say, okay, well, your sweet potatoes are 7432. We enter that right here, and then we weigh it, and here's your price. Oh, and we put it out in the barcode, and there you go. Thank you, madam. Please shop at Wegmans again. Next, please. Yes, sir. Come right on up, you know.
And do you bring your wings with you while you do this?
Have you gotten a part-time job there yet?
No, but I'd like to. I would like to. It would be nice.
They're actually one of the one of the best places to work for.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that.
They were highly rated as far as one of the best corporations to work for.
Yeah.
I think what I'll do is, if I have to go back there either tomorrow or the next day, what I'll do is I'll go and speak to Ben, and I'll say, Ben, as a senior citizen myself and seeing people baffled by the scales and the fact that they need to enter a code and put their vegetables down and then put the tag on the plastic. And when they don't do that, they go up to the cashiers, and then the cashiers have to do all of that as opposed to just barcoding everything and ringing through. I want to see if I could go as Priscilla Produce or, you know, Prudence Produce or something and have a label like that and, a Carmen Miranda headdress on with fruits and vegetables all in it and maracas and a mask, of course. And then wander around helping people weigh and price their vegetables and their fresh produce. It would be cute. And especially with a Carmen Miranda headdress on, I think it could be really fun. Certainly it would be an evening news item. You know, Wegmans would be back in the local news, you know, as, you know, Sybil Brunson posing as Prudence Produce. I think that could be a fun job. I would enjoy doing that. But I wouldn't want to stock, you know, toilet paper and stuff. I'd want to go there and work, and I think I'll go there and suggest a job that I could do that would be fun, and I could be the fresh produce person. That could be a funny thing to do. It wouldn't involve super heavy lifting. I'd let the college boys do the heavy lifting, you know, but I could certainly handle a rutabaga.
Or you just have a little stand set up saying, ask Priscilla Produce.
Yes. Much like Lucy Van Pelt's stand in Peanuts cartoons. Yes. Yes. The Prudence Produce is in, with a cardboard sign and then 10 cents, away or whatever, you know. I would love to do that.
I could set up right next to you with Vitamija Vegemin.
There you go.
Vitamija Vegemin. Yeah, that would be so much fun. Well, I'm looking at the time, and we are out of time. So it's interesting to have had a show where the three of us are sort of – I mean, I could have done this show in a bubble bath tonight. I'm so relieved with, you know, how this week has turned out. I could have – except I would have dropped the phone in the water, and that would have been the end of that. But, I mean, literally, I feel like I'm – as opposed to sitting in my great-great-grandfather's Windsor chair right now, looking out on my front porch at night, you know, with the lights and everything. I could be in a bathtub right now, just enjoying myself with two pals in tubs next to mine. So I thank you, ladies, for joining me tonight. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
I want to remind everyone that you've been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time now, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. And our sponsors, as always, is the DaughtersOfIsis.com, Fragrant Memories of Our Ancestors. We didn't do a fragrance tonight, but we'll do two next week. Gwendolyn will tell us two fabulous fragrances right before the gift-giving season. Remember to look up DaughtersOfIsis.com, all one word, on your laptop, and see any one of the 500 amazing products they offer. Amazing things for your nose and for your psyche. They're our sponsors. And we also have sponsors like you. Thank you at home. Ladies, I will see you next week. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful and relief-filled week. Have a good night.
Good night, Mom.